Welcome, Packer Nation, and welcome to another episode of Packers in Law. I'm Jake the Packer Veteran, coming to you from a much colder Minnesota. No snow right now, but it definitely cooled down from last week to this week, that's for sure. Winter is a knocking on the door, we'll just say that. It's supposed to get even colder starting tomorrow. So, I'm supposed to insert Game of Thrones joke here, but I'll refrain from that for now. So let's talk about the Packers and the Raiders. So, I need to defend myself, because I said that the Raiders are going to be highly motivated to win this game. They were going to come out and give the Packers a tough time. I said the Packers were going to win 24-21, and that's not really what happened. It started out that way, but it's not what happened. Obviously, we all know here in the future of, you know, October 2019 that the Packers won 42-24 over the Raiders, and it was a close game in the beginning. I feel like the Raiders were going to make my prediction come true. They came out, you know, they kind of put one up on the Packers, you know, kept scoring. And in my mind, the game really turned on the fumble that Raiders quarterback Derek Carr had in the red zone when he fumbled it through the end zone for a touchback. At that point, it was 14-10. The Raiders were trying to go in and take a, you know, 17-10 lead. And then the next time that Carr got the ball back, they got the ball back at the end of the half and they just didn't kneel down. But then time to get the ball back with the intention of, you know, doing something with it, it was 21-10. That turnover was huge, really disrupted the entire flow of the Raiders' offense, and the Packers ended up just kind of running away with the game in the second half. But at first, you know, they came out and they looked pretty good. Josh Jacobs had a great game, 124 yards rushing on just 24 carries. He looked good. Of course, the big star for the Raiders was tight end Darren Waller, I think his name is. Yes, Darren Waller. 7 catches, 126 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Our defense has kind of been having problems with tight ends, it seems like, and that's not good news considering who we're playing this coming week. So hopefully they'll be able to have time to shore that up. I hear Darnell Savage might come back this week. I think he was listed as questionable in the most recent injury report. But hopefully he's able to come back, because it seems like we need somebody back there who can adequately cover tight ends. So yeah, defense still working through some issues. Like I said, run defense wasn't great last week. Also, yeah, tight ends have been a tough cover for us so far. And then no sacks again, which I thought was interesting. No sacks from anybody. Not the Smiths, not Rashawn Gary, not any blitzing linebacker or cornerback. Nobody. Big old goose egg. For the second time in 2 weeks. So that's a little odd, but hopefully they can get that back in gear when Chiefs come to town, but rather, I guess, when we go to Kansas City. But of course, the big talk about this game is Aaron Rodgers with the perfect passer rating. Reminded me, I'm sure, a lot of Packer fans of what we looked like in 2011 and 2014, or what he looked like in particular, just having spectacular game after spectacular game, just air raiding, throwing up massive numbers, lots of touchdowns, lots of yards through the air. Had 429 yards through the air in this game. I really thought he was going to make my prediction of a 500-yard passing game come true, which, we of course, as I mentioned before in the preseason episode, that would be Rodgers' first, which still shocks me that this guy has not thrown 500 yards in the game. I thought he was going to get close when MVS took that one to the house at the end of the game, but just 429 yards, 5 touchdowns, ran for another one. Really just a great game. And his first perfect passer rating as well, which I also think is kind of surprising, especially when his average passer rating in 2011, I think, was something ridiculous, like 122 a game, which is crazy. Perfect passer rating. There's been some discussion I've seen on some Packer forums, particularly Insider Inbox and a couple other places, that people are posing the question, is this the best game that Aaron Rodgers has ever played? Obviously, the perfect passer rating, I think, would lead some people to say, well, yeah, the system that the NFL has used for a long time said that game was perfect. Or at least that was, you know, the best you could possibly play, even though he, you know, had 6 incompletions, which I know is not perfect, but good enough still. To me, I would say no. To me, the best game Rodgers has ever played, I think, is still the 2010 divisional playoff game against Atlanta. I looked at the stats from that game just recently. So in that game, he was 31 for 36, 366 yards, three touchdowns through the air, one rushing touchdown. But what stands out to me in that game was it seemed like every crucial third down the Packers needed, they got. And most of the time it was on a throw by Rodgers. That was also, for those of you who remember this, that was the Houdini game. If you ever watch like an NFL Films version of what happened in that game, with B.J. Raji, former Packers defensive lineman, mic'd up, Rodgers was able to escape from pressure. There were three times that I can remember in particular. I think most of them were on third down or second down. Two of them were for sure on third down. But where like he was dead to rights, should have been sacked, and then managed to break out and complete a pass to somebody for a first down. So B.J. Raji started calling him like Houdini. Like every great play he made, that's what Raji said. So I always just kind of remember it as the Houdini game. To me, that's the best game Aaron Rodgers has ever played. And I don't know if I've ever seen a quarterback so motivated. Obviously, the storyline going was we were the plucky, scrappy sixth seed going up against the number one seed in the NFC, the favorite probably to win the Super Bowl, at least on the NFC side, being the Atlanta Falcons. And we just came in there. And again, it was a close game in the beginning. But then, after Tremont Williams picked six to end the first half, the Packers just kind of took it to him and ended up winning 48-21, I think. It was something ridiculous. So that's the best game Rodgers ever played. Not to take away anything from this game. I mean, he looked great. He looked better. What actually makes me really happy about this is he looked better than he had looked in a long time. I think some of us were starting to worry if, the kind of games we saw in 2011 and 2014 were going to stay in the past, that, since 2015 and since his second collarbone injury, if we really wouldn't see that from anymore, especially after last year, we didn't really see a game like this from Rodgers, at least not this convincingly. But this is a good sign. And also, I think it's important because it shows that the Packers can win multiple ways. They've won low-scoring games. Week one against the Bears. They've won games where Rodgers doesn't have to play this well. They've won games where Aaron Jones can take over and Rodgers just has to not make mistakes. I think it's always the mark of a good team when there's not one formula for you to win the game. You can do it, if the team wants to play against the pass and make you run, you can still beat them. If they want to take away your points, you can still score just set up to beat them. I think that's great for the Packers. I think it's got to be good for Aaron Rodgers' mentality. I was watching Colin Cowherd on The Herd on FS1. I know I mentioned him in the past. I feel like I have to say this every time. I don't agree with everything he says, but I do like listening to him kind of give his opinions on things. And he said this game was good for Aaron Rodgers' mentality because now Rodgers isn't driving to Lambeau, as Colin put it, and thinking he has to do this kind of game every week for the Packers to have a chance, which with the lesser defenses we've had in the past, he probably did feel like that. But now, like I said, we can win multiple ways, and Aaron doesn't feel like he has to be Superman every Sunday. Probably good for him and good for the team in the long run to have multiple avenues to victory. Rodgers played great. Like I said, defense will get, I think they'll get on track. Raiders has some good players on offense. I still really like quarterback Derek Carr. I think he's a good player. Also, Josh Jacobs is on his way to being the offensive rookie of the year, at least so far. Or at least he's in the discussion. He's a very talented young player. Good win at home against, like I said, which appeared to be, at least in the beginning, a very motivated Raiders team. Packers win 42-24, go to 6-1. Unsung hero this week, I'm going to give it to Elgton Jenkins. I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he's the rookie guard the Packers signed this year and has been playing left guard since Lane Taylor tore his biceps in week 3. Just the fact that we haven't really had to notice him, like there hasn't been, he's had a couple penalties here and there, but I feel like his level of play has been very good. And thus far, it's looking like another great offensive lineman drafted by Green Bay, which apparently doesn't matter who our GM is in the last 20 some years. Most of the time we make pretty good selections on the offensive line. I know there have been some duds, but it seems like 70% of the time we make the right call, or at least they draft the right guys. So he's been playing great for the most part, and definitely held up in this game. against the Raiders. So like I said, Packers moved to 6-1 on the year. And this week, we'll go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. And before we talk about that, of course, let's go quickly around the NFC North. The Vikings, at the time of recording, they've actually played twice since the last episode. So they beat the Lions 42-30, and then they beat the Redskins a couple days ago on Thursday night, 19-9. So they're now 6-2. And then in week nine, they will actually go and play the Chiefs the week after the Packers do. So it looks like they will not have to play against Mahomes, which we'll talk about that in just a little bit, because that's kind of a funny situation going on there. The Bears lost to the Saints 36-25 at home. They are now 3-3 on the season, and they will play host to the Chargers this coming weekend. And the Chargers, like I said before, they have been a pretty big disappointment so far. 2-4 on the year, not looking so good, especially after they almost won the division last year instead of Kansas City. Came right down to the wire. But maybe the Bears can get a bounce back game. It seems like the Bears are really kind of low on Mitchell Trubisky. And I know Packer fans probably think he's terrible. And yeah, he hasn't had a great season so far. Been hurt for a couple games. But obviously, I think the real bummer for Bears fans is that they traded up to get Trubisky when they could have just stayed where they were and drafted Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson. Both who have been much more impressive in their careers than Trubisky has. But that aside, Bears are 3-3 playing the Chargers next week. Lions, of course, lost to the Vikings 42-30. They are now 2-3-1, and they will play host to the Giants of New York at Ford Field this Sunday. So Packers ahead of the Vikings by half a game at the moment because the Vikings played on Thursday night. But the Packers will play on Sunday night. That's right, Packers coming to Sunday Night Football against the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes will not be playing. Now, I know when he hurt his knee last week, everyone thought, then they said he was out for 3 weeks. Packer fans probably were like, okay, great. We don't have to play, you know, he is the best young quarterback in the game. The most talented young guy right now doing it. It's Patrick Mahomes. There's no question about that. But then there was this weird report that came out a couple days ago or during the week that Mahomes was practicing, like less than a week after he dislocated his kneecap, and they were talking about, oh, we'll see. The Chiefs were being real coy about it. Andy Reid was like, oh, well, we'll see how he reacts. We don't know. You know, he might play. And, you know, we know there's a lot of gamesmanship when it comes to things like the injury report. The Patriots used to do this all the time. They would always have Tom Brady with the injury report as probable with, like, a finger or something. And that's one of the reasons they got rid of the probable designation a couple years ago. Thanks, Bill Belichick, for that. But, yeah. Definitely not true. He's not going to play, which means the Packers will face Matt Moore. The Packers, of course, said the team line of doesn't matter who we play, we'll prepare for both, we'll be ready to go, which, you know, what else do you want to say in that situation? They're not going to call it the Chiefs for gamesmanship or, you know, any of that stuff. So they said what they were going to say anyway. But yeah, no Patrick Mahomes. Definitely will miss this game. Has been declared out, so there's no way he can play. Still probably no Devontae Adams. He's listed as doubtful. I would be surprised if he came back. Turf toe is a nasty thing. We can't really, count on him, I don't think, this week. The last week I said the big key was who was going to be playing receiver for the Packers, and I thought that both Geronimo and MVS were not going to play, and they both played and played well. So who knows? Maybe he'll play, but again, I don't think he will. And so Matt Moore, started for the Dolphins, led them to a playoff game a couple years ago. He's a good backup quarterback. I actually do think he's pretty decent. But obviously, you know, I know I said this last week a couple times, but he's no Patrick Mahomes. The weapons around Matt Moore are still there. So I think really the key matchup in this game, obviously we need to get sacks against the quarterback. That's basically true every week. But really it's whoever's guarding Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. That's basically what it comes down to. Like we've seen this year, the Packers have had a lot of problems covering tight ends. Now they're going up against the guy that I would consider to be the best tight end in football right now, at least talent-wise and production-wise. I think he's kind of had a little bit of a slow start so far, but he's still really good. Probably looking at what Darren Waller did this last week and is licking his chops, which, again, I'm really hoping that Darnell Savage will be able to come back because I feel like he could help in that area. Yeah. So whoever's guarding him, and then whoever's guarding Tyreek Hill, because that guy's a blur. I wonder, if I were the Packers, I would assign Jaire Alexander to guard him no matter where he goes, you know, basically be his shadow, and then some. That was one of the – he was one of the weapons that Matt Moore made use of through a nice lob pass that Hill was able to run underneath and catch for a run in for a touchdown last week against the Broncos. So, you know, with him, you kind of just have to throw it out there, and if he's open, he'll run up and get it. And he can also jump. He's got some nice hops, like we saw if you watch the Chiefs play. I don't remember who it was a couple weeks ago, but he made a really nice catch over the top for a touchdown when it looked like it was going to get picked off. So he can jump too. But Jaire Alexander can do both those things, run and jump as well. I don't think he's as fast as Tyreek Hill, but, you know, we got to put somebody on him, probably shade his safety over there while we're at it. But yeah, those two guys, if the Packers can limit them, I think we can probably handle the running game. It's LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams and then another rookie. They've got some talent there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to dismiss their running game, but I feel like we can get a handle on that. I don't think any of those guys are as talented as Josh Jacobs at this point. I mean, obviously, LeSean McCoy was probably a top-time running back with the Eagles. Yeah, top 10, but top 15, I would say. But I think Josh Jacobs is better than anybody the Chiefs have at this very moment in time. So, and then, you know, they still have other receivers. They still have Sammy Watkins. They still have DeMarcus Robinson, who's turned into a nice deep threat this year. Mecole Hardman, the rookie who Mahomes has found deep a couple times. So there's weapons everywhere. Plus, they've had, you know, the mini bye week since they played on Thursday to game plan. Get used to Matt Moore instead of Mahomes to, you know, game plan for our defense. So even though we might be tempted to, you know, kind of have a sigh of relief and take this game off and maybe not worry about it so much. And obviously, I mean, fans worrying about the game, we can't do anything. It doesn't really matter. But despite all that, the Chiefs, I think, are still going to be ready to play. And Andy Reid is a great coach. That's, you know, been said ad nauseum at this point. But it's true. He's a great coach. And he's not coming off a bye, but I think Andy Reid has only lost once or twice in his career coming off a bye week, and this is basically a mini bye. So, same kind of thing. They've had more time to prepare for us and basically get used to, you know, adjust their game plan for Matt Moore. And then, like I said, they got talent everywhere on offense, so they'll be ready to go, and they'll be at home. It's Sunday Night Football. It's a big atmosphere, so it should be interesting. Should be a fun one in Kansas City Sunday night. And that'll do it this week. Of course, as always, you can find every past, current, and future episode of Packers in Law over at packtothefuture.com. Packer fan site, other podcasts, other articles, stuff like that. It's pretty cool. Go check it out. You can email us at packersinlaw@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at packersinlaw. Ask us questions about anything. If you want to ask Andy something, he's still around. So, I can relay messages for him in for the time being. So, yeah. Go Pack Go. And I will talk to you guys in the next episode.